Save the cheerleader, save the world. That's the tagline for a popular TV series on NBC called Heroes. In the series, ordinary people discover they have extraordinary abilities and learn how to use them for good and for evil. The basic plot is the good heroes try to save the world from the bad ones. This is just one in the latest of a long line of superhero stories created throughout the history of mankind. In ancient times, the Greeks had heroes like Achilles, the leading hero in the Trojan War. He was invincible except for one small spot on the back of his left ankle. The Romans had Hercules, a mythical hero known for his superhuman strength. Well, actually they stole the concept of Hercules from the Greeks, but they made him completely their own. In modern American history, we've seen many new superheroes emerge. Heroes like Spider-Man, Batman, Iron Man, Wonder Woman, and of course, Superman, who was the original American superhero, coming on the scene in 1938. During that time, when Jews were being oppressed by the Nazis in Europe, and Americans were suffering through tough times in the Great Depression, two young American Jewish teenagers, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, were looking for a savior. In his book, The Gospel According to the World's Greatest Superhero, Stephen Skelton tells a story like this. On a cold Ohio night, a sleepless Siegel who had lost his father years earlier when a robber shot him at his store was seized by a vision of a superhuman hero, a strong man that was more than a strong man, a god on earth. And it was early the next morning when he rushed to his best friend Schuster, who in his family's small, seldom heated apartment, with hands gloved against the chill, sketched on cheap wrapping paper the images of a new icon. A figure who would inspire them, and later the country, and thereafter the world. I doubt that Siegel and Schuster understood it then, but I believe they were creating their own version of the Messiah the Jewish people had been longing for. And the rest of the world was longing for a hero too. So Superman became a hero to the world, hailed by one of the first newspaper strips as champion of the oppressed. As the Superman story was enhanced over the next 10 to 15 years, it began to take on many interesting parallels to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For example, Superman and his father shared the same last name, El, the Hebrew word for God. So if you know the story of how Superman came to Earth, the Father, or God, sends his son, God, down to Earth. Superman's adoptive earthly parents were originally named Mary and Joseph. The names were changed later to Martha and Jonathan, probably to make the connection to Christ less obvious. And Superman's enemy is a villain named Lex Luthor, which sounds an awful lot like Lucifer. By the way, both Lex Luthor and Lucifer are both consumed and corrupted by the desire for glory and power. The Superman story evolved over the years to become a modern parable, a story that parallels the greatest story ever told about the greatest superhero ever. In fact, the only real superhuman hero to ever walk the face of the earth, Jesus Christ. Some 2009 years ago, God the Father sent to earth God the Son. Why? Why did God send his Son to earth? I think the very old English Christmas carol sums it up nicely. It goes like this. God rest ye merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. Now here's the kicker. Here's where the mission comes in. The next line starts like this. To save us all. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the fruit from the tree of knowledge, sin entered the world and we were broken. Broken and doomed to die, every last one of us. But God had a plan. Tonight's Old Testament scripture lesson from Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yes, long before the birth of Jesus, God set his plan into motion. He wasn't going to leave us to Satan's power, oh no. He was going to do something about it. He was going to send someone to save us. A real live Superman. A hero. A savior. Tonight, we're going to take a look at how Jesus, as our superhuman hero, is able to save us from Satan's power through his birth, his life, and his death. To do that, we're going to start in the middle, with his life. I know it's Christmas Eve, and we all want to hear about the birth, and I promise we'll finish up with the birth, but first, his life. During his life, Jesus performed many superhuman feats that we often refer to as miracles. We all know the story. Jesus healed the sick, he gave sight to the blind and voice to the mute, hearing to the deaf, and raised the dead back to life. He also performed other feats of amazing superhuman abilities, like turning water into wine, controlling the weather, and walking on water. These are all quite amazing miracles. But there's one superhuman feat that he performed every minute of every hour of every day. Something that was part of his plan to save us from Satan's power. You see, Jesus lived every minute of every day with absolutely no sin. Not one evil thought of hatred, revenge, greed, or lust. Not one evil deed. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And in doing so, he set an example for us to attempt to follow. I say attempt because I believe that try as we might, we can't ever attain a perfect, sinless life. That is something only a truly superhuman hero can do. I mean, have you ever tried to live a sinless life? It's not easy. You know, for many years of my life, I didn't bother trying at all. But for the last few years, I've been trying to be pretty good. I'm trying to be nice to people. I don't get drunk and stupid anymore. I try not to curse anymore, you know. But it's hard. It's really hard. You know, there's something about driving to work surrounded by hundreds of really bad drivers that just brings out the worst in me. I try to take all the back roads as much as I can and stay on the highways, but sometimes I just find myself getting really angry. I'm thinking of having a bumper sticker made up to put on my car, something that will help me to stay calm because I know other people are going to see it. It's a saying that I often think to myself as I'm driving, to keep my emotions in check. Instead of WWJD, what would Jesus do? It's HWJD, how would Jesus drive? I think if I make that up, I'll make a lot of money. But that's just one sin I'm trying to overcome. I'm not keeping track or anything, but there's probably another dozen or so that I'm aware of. Plus, who knows how many others I'm not consciously aware of yet. So no, it's not easy to live a sinless life. In fact, it's downright impossible. But we can try to improve every day, repent of our sins one by one, in an attempt to be as much like Jesus as we can. Our scripture lesson from Titus tells us this: for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Jesus lived a life full of superhuman miracles, and one really amazing superhuman feat, a perfect, sinless life. But what comes next is even more incredible. A superhuman feat of strength and endurance that changed the world forever. Yes, Jesus died, but it's not the death itself that is superhuman. After all, thanks to Adam and Eve, we all die sooner or later. But what Jesus did is so incredible, it's really going to be hard to explain it with mere mortal words. You see, Jesus, who knew no sin, he took on the sins of the whole world. Think about that. He took into him the sins of the entire world. My heart feels oppressed and heavy just thinking about that. All of the evil thoughts, all of the evil deeds. all of the nastiest, ugliest, perverted, and disturbed sins imaginable, all laid on the one person, one superhuman person, one hero. And with his death, Jesus paid the price for our sins. Since we have all sinned, we have all earned death. That was our fate. That is, until Jesus came down to earth. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us, him who never knew sin, God made to be sin on our behalf, so that we, through union with him, might become the righteousness of God. So we see that Jesus lived a superhuman, sinless life, and upon his death, he performed the ultimate superhuman feat of strength, taking on the sins of the world and sacrificing himself in love for us. And now it's time to come back to the beginning, the birth of Jesus. In another of tonight's scripture lessons, Luke 2, 1-14, we hear the Christmas story we all know and love. Joseph and Mary, who was expecting a child, traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the Roman census. While there, Mary gave birth to the baby Jesus in a local innkeeper's stable and laid him in a manger. What could be superhuman or heroic about the birth of a baby? After all, it happens every day. Well, let me ask you this. If you were God, the maker of all things, master of the universe, Alpha and Omega, would you care so much about the sinful humans on earth that you would shrink yourself down so small as to become a bovum, a single fertilized egg barely visible to the naked eye? Would you? Our God did that. He became a baby who could not speak or eat solid food or control his bladder, who depended on a teenage couple for shelter, food, and love. And he did it knowing what he would eventually have to do on the cross many years later. Why? Why would he do such a thing? Because he has a superhuman ability to love us all. Probably the most famous Bible verse of all time, John 3:16, says it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because he has a superhuman love for all of us average, everyday humans, God sent someone to save us. God sent us someone superhuman. God sent us a hero whose mission was to save us all. But to be saved, you first have to accept his heroic sacrifice. In Luke 14, Jesus tells a parable about a man who prepared a great banquet and sent his servant out to invite all of his guests. Now let me tell you, in those days, a banquet was a big deal. If you got invited to a banquet, you were there. You were not going to miss that. But all of the invited guests began making excuses. The first one said, I just bought a field and I must go and see it. Do you believe that? Who buys property and then goes to see it? Wouldn't you go and see it before you buy it? Make sure you're not buying useless swampland or something like that? I think it's safe to say this guest was making excuses. In fact, he was outright lying. The second one said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Unless you're an eBay motor shopper, who buys a truck or a car today without a test drive? I'd say this is a lie, too. And the third one says, I just got married, so I can't come. Come on. Really? I mean, this guy just got married. Did he ask his wife about this? Did he tell his wife about this? I mean, what wife that just got married wouldn't want to go out for a night of food, champagne, and socializing with important people in the community? That's the biggest lie of them all right there. All the guests were invited to the banquet, but they all made up excuses. So, the host invited the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame to his banquet. And he bid his servant to go out to the roads and country lanes and get everyone to come into the banquet. And then the host said, I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. God our Father has prepared a banquet, and he has invited you to a place at his table. But the invitation is open for a limited time only, and the expiration date is different and unknown to each of us. Once we die, the offer expires. And so I ask you tonight, do you need a hero? Do you need to be saved? The hero has come. He lived the perfect sinless life. He paid the price to take away your sin. And you have been invited to a table in God's kingdom through the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ. How will you respond? If you haven't already done so, will you accept the invitation, or will you offer excuses? If you're done with the excuses, if you're done with the lies, you have your chance to accept Christ tonight. When the sacrament of Holy Communion is delivered to you, perhaps when you take and eat, it will be real to you. I pray it will be so. Let us pray. Father, we need a hero. We need a Savior. We are sinful, weak, average, everyday humans. We know we are unworthy of your love, and yet we see how much you love us, and we are in awe. Thank you for sending us a hero 2009 years ago. Thank you, Jesus, for living among us. Thank you for taking our sins upon yourself and sacrificing yourself to save us all. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us first. Amen.